Everything that I do over the course of a week is focused on this moment. I have personal time with God, and it's always wonderful. He always meets me. But there's something about being with His church. And you didn't come to hear me, at least I hope you didn't. Honestly, I hope you didn't. I pray that you have come and will hear from the Holy Spirit this morning. Amen. I'm excited about what God is going to share this morning. Not because I wrote something awesome, but because He is going to speak to you and me right here, right now. That's what His Word does. That's what it means to have a faithful Holy Spirit and Counselor living inside of us. Amen? Are you ready to get into the Word? Let's turn to John chapter 12. I want to talk to you this morning about living life with intensity and purpose. Living life with intensity and purpose. The title of my message this morning is Jesus Cried Out. This, of course, following in our theme for the last few weeks, Jesus, verb. Jesus, and then what action is He up to? What exactly is He doing in these different verses that we read and parse and observe and follow? It is this theme that has been my prayer the last few weeks, that we would not only look at the words of Jesus, but we would see His action, how He lives out His calling. Because I think that has profound implications for us, because it moves us from coming to study God's Word, which is always awesome, it's always great. There's nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong. But when we come just to study and learn more about it and not come with an anticipation that He's getting ready to change, mix it up in my life, that's what He's up to. And He not only wants to mix it up in your life, He wants to live in and through you and me so that His Word is proclaimed. By mix it up, I mean, sometimes it does get messier before it gets better, doesn't it? And is anybody nervous this morning about what the Holy Spirit might want to do? That's okay. I get a little nervous whenever I come to the Scripture with an open heart and an open mind, because I know that He could rearrange my life at any time. And I don't have to fear that, but honestly, sometimes I do, because I like my life. Huh? I like my routine. Sometimes I get a lot of comfort from my routine. But would you give Jesus this morning permission to change it up? To change some things that you've been doing in order to fully and better follow His will? I've given God that permission this morning, and I'm a little nervous, because I've spent time with Him this week and I realize that my life may not always look the way it looks right now. And He's always at work in me doing interesting things that keep mixing it up. And through that, I'm growing as I'm leaning on Him. You may be called this morning into a new step of obedience that a year ago you thought, I'd never do this. Are you kidding me? All of a sudden today, it feels like that is the next step. I have to follow. It wasn't clear a year ago, but it's completely clear today. This is what I have to do. So, Brad, would you put up Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9? I learned this Bible verse by memory from my Sunday school teacher when I was in junior high. My Sunday school teacher was named Uetta Ratliff. Joshua 1, 8 and 9. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We know that these verses come at the end of the life of Moses, and Moses is passing the baton over to Joshua. And where are they headed? Well, they just spent the last 40 years wandering around in the desert. But God has placed the baton of leadership into Joshua's hands, and they are getting ready to go into the promised land. And Joshua's nervous. Can I tell you that spiritual maturity can happen here right now, and it is all about obedience. It's all about taking those next steps that seem risky, that seem dangerous, that seem counterintuitive at times, to be walking in faith. Sometimes we think about the land of Canaan and think, boy, someday I'll live there and it's going to be great. I won't have any problems. Everything will be awesome. But for the children of Israel and for us as well, the promised land is not a place where it's awesome. It's a place of spiritual maturity. It's a place of growth. It's a place we're going to meet with some big challenges. So are you ready this morning? You ready, Mary? All right. Me too. When it comes right down to it, we were created to accomplish tasks that have eternal significance. We were created to accomplish tasks that have eternal significance. We were also created to work. I get that from clear back in the Garden of Eden. God appointed Adam and Eve to work the garden. Everybody okay so far? We were divinely created with a drive to thrive. We know that comfort gets boring. Now we seek comfort, don't we? But the minute that we sit down spiritually, the minute that we sit down mentally, the minute that we sit down emotionally, something starts to happen. There's a welcoming of the rest, but there's also a default that immediately begins to speak that says, get up and do what you've been created to do. Now, in God's beautiful economy, He's given us a day of rest, Sabbath day. But the first day of the week always comes back around. And He has appointed us to work, to accomplish something of eternal significance. We were created with a divine propensity, a divine innate ability, and skills and drive to thrive. For instance, no 16-year-old young person anticipates their 16th birthday and works for 6 months prior to that, getting their permit and getting their driving time in with their mom or dad sitting next to them, giving them coaching cues on how to drive. No 16-year-old gets his license and gets behind the wheel and says, I have waited for this moment all my life. I'm going to put it in neutral. It's going to be awesome. No. We want to put it in drive. We want to go forward. And something's wrong, isn't it? We begin to ask questions pretty soon of ourselves and of others if we're just sitting around, idling, with a full tank of gas. All the spark plugs are firing, but you're not going anywhere. Can you hear me all the way back? Everybody okay this morning? Okay. Because of this inerrant design, we experience this internal drive to thrive. We want to move forward. We want to overcome barriers. It's how we're wired. And we want to make a real difference. People will do amazing things when they believe in something or someone, won't they? We've just witnessed a political election, and regardless of what side of the aisle you favor, it doesn't really matter. My point is, each political election has an army of volunteers that work themselves crazy. Why? It's no paycheck. There's no paycheck coming in to make calls and pass out door hangers and shake hands. It's because they believe in what they're doing. They believe. And as a result, they will work themselves silly. When people believe in something or someone, they will work on a project with tireless energy. Ask a college student who spends, after high school, 2, 4, 6, 8, 12 years in college and doctoral higher education. And then they have to pay for it through the nose. It's so expensive. They're paying a professor a huge sum of money to give them a C+ on a paper they've worked on for an entire semester. Why? Next semester will prove that they believe in what they're doing. They'll stick with something time after time. Did you know Edison didn't invent electric lights? Nope. There were already electric arc lights, which were similar to today's street lights. The problem was, they were so bright and they flickered that you didn't really want one in your living room. They were too bright. And Edison didn't just invent a light bulb either. He put together what he knew about electricity with what he knew about gas lights, and he invented a whole system of electronic lighting. This meant light bulbs, electricity generators, wires to get the electricity from the power station to the homes, fixtures, lamps, sockets, switches to the light bulbs, and more. It was like a jigsaw puzzle, and this is what he applied himself to because he believed in it. One of the toughest pieces that Edison says about his invention, the light bulb for homes, was what to make the filament out of. That little wire inside the light bulb that lights up. He filled more than 40,000 pages of notes before he finally had a light bulb that would withstand a 40-hour test in his laboratory. In 1879, after testing more than 1,600 materials for the light filament, for the right filament, including coconut fiber, fishing line, and even hairs from a friend's beard, Edison and his workers finally figured out what to use. And it would take a long time when you learn what the filament was. Carbonized bamboo. Now, of all the things that you would look for in all the places of the world, in all of the raw material, who would think to look at bamboo? But that's where he found it. The first large-scale test of the system in the United States took place when Edison's Pearl Street Station in New York City's financial district sent electricity to lights in 25 buildings on September 4th, 1882. Now here's the thing. Edison failed 1,599 times at least before he found a material that would work as a filament in his home light bulb. He wrote 40,000 pages of notes. Why didn't he give up? Would you have given up? He didn't give up because he believed in his idea. His ideas were based on known truth and hypothesis or faith. This gave him the confidence to keep on working and trying variations in his experiments. Let's read our scripture this morning. John chapter 12, 37 through 50. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This is John. John's key theme, it's mentioned like 93 times in the Gospel of John. Believe. Believe. John is intent on communicating belief. And he records it at the words of Jesus. This was to fulfill what the word of the prophet Isaiah said, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason, they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and has deadened their hearts so that they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than praise from God. Then Jesus cried out. That's our Jesus verb for this morning. When a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. As for the person who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say and what to say and how to say it. I know that this command leads to eternal life, so that whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. I don't know how much you know about Jesus. I'm learning more all the time, and I'm coming to appreciate him more and more all the time. But you don't have to read and know a lot about him to find very quickly that he is a man of great intensity. What I mean by that is he came with a mission to fulfill, and there was not going to be anything that sidetracked that mission. Last week we talked about Jesus leaving and hiding. And what would apparently seem at first that he was avoiding the crowds, what he was doing was he was stepping out of public ministry to prepare his disciples, his 12. And just as a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, if it dies, it produces an exponential harvest. That's what Jesus was doing as he stepped out of public ministry and focused on his 12 disciples. He was driven. Regardless of what the public said, he was going to do what he was called to do. Amen? Jesus spoke boldly about who he was. But as we know, we can be intense about something, but our intensity about it doesn't necessarily ensure our definition of success. So by intensity this morning, I'm not just talking about, I am going to get this no matter what. And what I'm hearing so far from Pastor John is, if I don't get it the first time, I'm going to keep on trying, keep on trying, keep on trying, keep on trying. If I have to write 100,000 pages of notes, if I have to fail 10,000 times, I'm going to keep on, keep on. That's not what I'm talking about. Truth will always prevail. And sometimes we will test that truth with our will. Just ask the parent of any four-year-old. Just read the Bible to see how many people continue to test the truth of God. We are people, we have free will, and we will test the truth. Sometimes we test the truth because of fear of what following that truth will cost. Sometimes people reject truth, believing that possibly for me there'll be an exception. So I'm just going to keep on looking for that loophole. But even as bold as Jesus was, the Bible says many people still didn't believe. As intense as he was, I mean, is there an equal? No. As focused as he was, as driven as he was, as intense and laser beam focused as he was at accomplishing the will of God, not everybody believed. Verse 37 says many people didn't believe. And here the implication is that by believing you will follow him. They may have believed up here. The Pharisees and Sadducees said, we believe, but we don't want to lose our seat in the sanctuary. So we can't follow. Because if we follow him, we'll lose our positions of authority. So we're not going to follow him. That's not real belief. John chapter 7, verse 5 says, for even his own brothers didn't believe in him. How would you like that? You're just working so hard, and you're intense about making sure you get it done. And then even your own family says, I don't think so. That Jesus, he's crazy. He's crazy. That's what his brothers were saying. I love the Bible, don't you? So transparent. It doesn't hide the ugly. Just puts it all out there. The professed goal of the entire book of John was that people would come to believe in Jesus' identity as Messiah. And by his works. The word believe occurs in the book of John 98 times, far more than any other key word. I'm going to move ahead a little, Brad. I'm going to skip those next couple on screens there. Application. Belief in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, leads to living God's perfect will. Don't let that go in one ear and out the other. That's key. So let me emphasize it a little better. Belief in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Belief in Jesus, as we read the Gospel of John, belief in Jesus leads to living in God's perfect will. Belief in Jesus leads to living God's perfect will in our lives. If I jump up and down a little more, will that help? Okay. Jesus faced his challenges with the truth and confidence of God. That's good news because we can too. Whatever challenges that we're facing, you can face them with God's truth, his confidence, his boldness, and his intensity. The good news is we're not alone, but life is really hard, isn't it? Can anybody say amen? Life is hard. Romans 8:28-31. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? If you want to take 3 points, here they are. Living in truth, or God's will, brings multiplied courage, decisiveness, and endurance. Courage, decisiveness, and endurance. Living in God's will arrived at through belief in him brings endurance, confidence, or endurance, courage, and decisiveness. First of all, courage. Courage, the very definition, is facing our fears. And sometimes our fears represent insurmountable odds. We look at them and think, there's no way. I mean, the children of Israel, as they're walking around the walls of Jericho, looked at the walls, and God had just told them, if you walk around the walls and keep walking around the walls and walk around the walls, you know, for days at a time, and then at the end of that time, I'm going to have you blow your trumpet. The children of Israel faced incredible, insurmountable, seemingly impossible odds. But it took courage to follow God. How did they get it? They believed in him. Sometimes getting up and going to work takes incredible courage. Can anybody say amen? It can be really tough. Stuff going on at work. Sometimes living in the midst of conflict can take courage every day. Living with a disability or a disadvantage takes courage every day. And when the odds seem stacked against us, it takes courage to move one foot in front of the other. Life is hard, but God has not left us in despair. He has a plan. Number two, decisiveness. Let me circle us back in through the theme here. Living in truth, which is arrived at through belief in God, living in God's will brings courage, decisiveness, and endurance. Decisiveness. You know, decisions are, they have a component of spontaneity to them, don't they? Decisions. I'm going to decide to go to Jimmy John's today for lunch or whatever. But have you thought about the fact that decisions need to be made before you need to make them? I remember Darren Gillum talking to the teens on more than one occasion, and he said, when teens, as you come across the experience of getting in a car, and you're 16, and you hear some pop to the top open, and there's stuff going on, you need to know before you get in that situation what your decision is going to be. Make it now. So that your default is not, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I don't want to let my friends down, and I don't know what I'm... Your decision is, I'm going to follow God's will for my life. Know what your answer is before the situation occurs. Why do we need decisiveness in our lives? Well, because we will be presented with temptation every day. The devil will say, what can I throw at you today? Already know that you're going to say yes to God and no to the devil. Amen? Put it in stone today. Write it on the Write it on your heart. Pastor Nathan sent me a text this morning. Guard your heart, because it's the wellspring of your life. So decide today how you're going to meet the temptations that you are faced with. Amen? Before you do something and you're caught off guard, we got to be in relationship with Jesus so that we're not making some of these mistakes that people who have lived longer than us say, you don't want to do that. Just trust me, you don't want to do that. That's good advice. Decide before you're confronted with the substance or the alcohol or the sex. Decide now. I'm going to follow God's will. We will have options to take a shortcut, especially when we're tired or weary. And we'll be like, I just want comfort. Be ready to answer those who offer you an option that God would not endorse. Amen? To decide is to divide. To prioritize God's will over all the other options that you have in your life. Take the narrow road. Life is hard. It is hard. It's hard to face these temptations. It's hard to face these options. Especially when our body says, that would feel pretty good. Or your emotions say, I just need a break. We're not driven by our emotions, and we're not driven by our body. We are driven, and we are led by the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen? Can you hear me all the way back? Amen? Amen. Endurance. Endurance. Man, power to make it to the finish line. You've heard this before, but life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Any of us can do really well for a day. Then tomorrow rolls around and we're tired. We're cranky. We got other things to do and stuff starts piling up. And then all of a sudden life gets complicated. Life is not a sprint. It is a marathon. So why do we need endurance? Because we're human and we get tired. We even get tired of doing the right things. We even get tired of doing God's will. We're human. And we will have this sense of, I'm tired, so therefore I'm going to stop. But we are not driven by the flesh. We are led by the Spirit. Amen? That's what the Bible teaches. We're not to be driven by the flesh or led by the flesh. We're to be led by the Spirit. What does the will of God say about this right here, right now? The keys to the kingdom are given to those who are willing to live their lives for something that cannot be accomplished in a day or two, or a quick yes, and then, I'm tired. The building of relationships, this day in, day out, grinding it out, 40,000 pages of notes and a million experiments. It's going to work out because it's based on truth. Amen? This is what we are designed to do. We keep working. We keep plugging away. Endurance, decisiveness, and courage, because we are not led by the flesh, we are led by the Spirit. And as we are believing in the Spirit, we are following God's will, and God's truth will prevail. And because of that, I'm on the right side. We're going to win, folks. Amen? We're on the winning side as we believe and follow His will. Life is hard, but God has given us a source of strength that comes from His heart, His Holy Spirit. Worship team, would you come on up this morning as we get ready to come in for a landing? Fear is a crippling emotion. But the Lord never intended for you and for me to live in a crippling, dreaded sense of fear of the future. That's not how we're wired. Now, there are components of our being out of fear for survival, and they need to be listened to, but ultimately, we're not driven by our flesh or even by our sense of physical survival. We are driven as Christians, and we are led by the will of God. Just look at the life of Jesus. He laid his life down for a higher purpose. Joshua heard the word of God when he heard in the face of incredible odds, "Be strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you? Obey everything that is written in this book, and then you will be prosperous, and then you will find success. Do not be discouraged." Courage is a quality of mind or spirit that enables us to meet danger or opposition or challenges of life with fearlessness, calmness, and firmness. Now, I still may feel afraid, but down in the center of my being, I have decided to follow God. The Lord wanted divine wisdom, not human logic, to lead the nation of Israel. Therefore, God said to Joshua, he said, "You're not going to win this by having a fine fighting force. You're going to win this because I'm on your side." Amen? I'm on your side. And as you believe in me and live in my will, you will prevail. Finally, ask the critical question this morning. If I don't obey, what will happen? If I don't follow his will, what will happen in my life? Now, we're all pretty smart, huh? So why do we seek that we will probably get the odds of finding the loophole? Huh? Why do we try to circumvent the will of God when we know? It's like trying to hold back Niagara Falls. You can't hold back the will and truth of God. He will prevail. Let's move in with him, amen, and be a part of his plan in this world. Take your eyes off your circumstances. Put them toward your great defender and deliverer. The Heavenly Father has got all things under his control, and there's no need to be afraid. All right, on your card, 3x5 card, you may want to write these three words: courage, decisiveness, and endurance. On your card, write down the things in your life that you are needing courage, decisiveness, and endurance for. Write down the things in your life that you are needing courage, decisiveness, and endurance for. Now, I need to tell you that sometimes we come at these things that we need courage, endurance, and decisiveness for, and we assume two things. Number one, if I can do it, it's good to do. And if I can do it, God will bless it. Those are tragic assumptions that need to be eliminated from the equation. If we assume that because I can do it, it's good to do, it leaves out God's will. If I assume that if I can do it, God will bless it, it leaves out God's will. Look at James. James, chapter 4, verse 15. Instead, And he's talking here to the church. He says, some of you are walking around saying, tomorrow I'm going to go, and I'm going to go to this city, and I've got this thing to do. I got this list of things to do, and I'm going to get them done. And James says, wait a minute. You ought to be instead saying, if it's God's will, we will live and go about and do these things. Amen? Here's where the rubber meets the road. If I think, because I can do it, I should do it, or if I can do it, God will bless it. Just take them out of the equation. Prioritize one thing and one thing only. What is God's will for my life? Now, those things that you are, that you've placed under, I need courage, decisiveness, and endurance for, let me ask you a question. Have you prayed about your pursuing these things? Have you prayed, yes or no?
Yes.
Great. It's the first step. All right. Sometimes the things that we are trying to accomplish, here's the brutal truth. Here's where it all comes together for a crashing crescendo of God's will in your life or my life. Everybody with me? Sometimes the things that we're trying to accomplish are not God's will. But instead, based in pride, the world's definition of success, or our own sense of trying to fill a vacancy for a void that we've had in our life for a long time. And we're driving ourselves crazy intense, trying to get this done. That's the message I'm trying to say this morning, is if it's not God's will, it ain't going to happen. Stop beating yourself up. Stop hitting your head against a stone wall. Stop. Everybody okay? All right. God's will is arrived at through belief. This is the only means to find courage, decisiveness, and endurance that Jesus lived. Now, beside the things that you need courage, decisiveness, and endurance for, ask, is it God's will that I'm pursuing these things? Have I prayed? Have I sought the wisdom of the Holy Spirit? Have I humbly confessed, not my will, but yours be done? And honestly, if your spirit says no, you need to write it down. Move it from here and all of the blur going on. But I can't say no, I can't say no, I can't say no. If your spirit before God says no, write it down. Write the word N-O. If it's not God's will for you to be pursuing it, stop pursuing it. Because it ain't going to happen. The good news is, everything that's God's will can happen in your life as we say yes and follow Him in belief. That's where, and that's the only avenue, that's the only source, it's the only power plug for the endurance, the decisiveness, and the courage that Jesus had. I want what Jesus had, but for my own purposes. You'll never have the endurance, the courage, or the decisiveness to get it done. But you will, if you follow God's will, be able to accomplish more than you could ever think or imagine, because it's not just us at work. It's His Spirit multiplying in and through us. Amen? So, we've got some things to decide on this morning, and we're all at a different place, all got different stuff. But what has the Spirit said to you today? Let me lead you in a prayer as we close our service now. Lord, please grant us your humility to live fully surrendered to your will. Grant us your grace to know your will. Grant us your power to live your will courageously, decisively, and with endurance. Amen. This is another way to close our time together this morning, not only through a verbal prayer, but through a song. This song says, "Give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession to know and follow hard after you." I'm going to stop there. I could just keep going. Stop, John. Thank you. I will. All right, we're going to sing now. Okay. Let's stand together.
Give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession. Give me one glorious ambition for my life. To know and follow hard after you. This world is empty, pale and poor. Grant knowing you, my Lord. Lead me on and I will run after you. Lead me on and I will run after you. Give me one pure and holy passion. Give me one magnificent obsession.
Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have an awesome week.